We thank God for allowing us time to come and to share. And that's why I praise him. That's why I lift him up. That's why I give him glory. Because he is worthy to be praised. How many know he's worthy? Don't fool me now. How many know that God is worthy? Even when we act unworthy, God is still worthy. Even when we lose our mind, God is still worthy. Amen, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. This morning and every morning, we give God praise and honor, for he is worthy all by himself. We honor our pastor and our first lady. I was glad when I saw her coming through the door. I got my back up here. Amen, somebody. I thank God for our first lady. We ask that you would keep our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Niles R. Wilson, and our first lady Wilson and their family in prayer, to the greater Cornerstone family, my family, and to the mothers of our church, to my co-laborers in the word, Minister Danette Purnell, Reverend Ricks, who is being obedient and recovering, and to Reverend Parham, who I love and miss dearly. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. To all those who are visiting online and here, Jesus is the reason why we are here right now. And last but first in my life, behind Jesus, of course, my wife, Lady Tina Andrews, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be before you long. And if it's all right, I just want to talk to you just for a little bit. I don't need any amens. I don't need any hallelujahs, any of all that stuff. I just want you to take this in, because God has been dealing with me with some things. And sometimes we get animated and we miss the move of God. So today I ask that you be patient with me and that you hear God and not me. Our scripture was already read for you. I'm just going to lift one verse. You can keep your seats, because we want to just get into this. And we pray that the Lord blesses you. Psalms 46 and 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, you are so good. I thank you for allowing me yet another appointment in time to preach out of your word. Father, I pray, God, that you allow me to decrease as you increase. God, that your word would go forth. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be first partaker of it. And God, it's good. It hurts, but it's good. It's necessary, but it's good. And so, God, I just pray, God, that it would fall on listening ears and listening hearts, and that we would be not only hearers of your word, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be still. Life is a whirlwind of moving parts, demands and expectations and responsibilities that pull us in every direction. Our families and loved ones are often in the front of it all. They take center stage. But then there are those unrelenting pressures of work, school, bills, and even church. We find ourselves rushing through our days, convinced that there just isn't enough time to catch our breath. And sometimes, in an attempt to keep it moving, we lean on our internal autopilot and we fail to take notice of the signs that things are not going in the direction that we had hoped. And when things start to crumble around us, when our health falters, when our relationships become strained and the assignments God places in our hands feel too heavy to carry, sometimes God has to step in and force us to pause. A moment of stillness that we didn't ask for, but we desperately need. It's in those moments that we have to make a choice. Either are we going to let the noise drown out the voice of God, or are we going to listen and be still? In the midst of life's chaos, we can't forget that the very God who spoke the world into existence is still speaking to us. And when our hearts become overwhelmed, when we're blinded by our circumstances, when the pain, be it physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, demands our attention, we often fail to see God leading us to the rock that is higher than ourselves. We won't truly experience the peace in Jesus Christ until we realize it's not our striving that gets God's attention. It's our surrender. Amen, somebody. Today, I suggest that we pause and think about what it truly means to be still and know that He is God. When we consider God's perspective of our lives, He will show us how to quiet the noise, anchor ourselves in His presence, and hear the voice above the clamor of life. And when we look at this psalm, I'll give you a little background. Psalms 46 is a powerful song of trust and confidence in God in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. It's attributed to the sons of Korah, a group of temple singers who were descendants of Levi and served in the tabernacle and later in the temple. This psalm is structured as a triumphant declaration of God's presence, His protection, and His power. This psalm is believed to have been written during the time of a national crisis or a military threat. And some scholars suggest that it may have been composed during the Assyrian invasion during the reign of King Hezekiah, when God miraculously delivered Jerusalem from destruction. Whatever the setting, this psalm teaches us that in moments of chaos and confusion, to be still and to know that He is God. Sometimes we move too much. Sometimes we overthink things and we wonder why we can't hear God. And it's all because we have not learned how to be still. This psalm is divided into three sections, each ending with the word Selah or Selah, a term likely indicating a pause or a reflection. Life will sometimes require us to stop and reflect on where we've been, where we are, and more importantly, where we're headed. He begins this psalm with a declaration. God is our refuge and our strength. Now here, the term refuge in Hebrew conveys the idea of a safe place, a shelter from danger or trouble. It implies that God is a secure sanctuary where we can run for protection when life becomes crazy. I have to admit, there are some times when I had to run to God. Things weren't going my way. I know I got some witnesses in here. And all I can do was be still and hide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when life's storms rage, God is the unshakable fortress that shields us. Just as ancient cities had fortified walls to protect against enemies, God surrounds us with His presence, offering security and offering peace. God is not only a place of safety, but also the source of inner strength. He empowers us to endure and withstand adversity. As children of the Most High, we ought to be able to tap into God whenever we need to. And sometimes we become so busy that we forget to take a pause and say, God, am I doing this right? I don't know about you. Every now and then I have to ask God to check my record. I need him to check my credit score. I need to know where I stand with him. You know how when we want to go higher and we want to do other things, and maybe you want to make a purchase, and then you go to the place to make the purchase, and the first thing that agent asks you is what your credit score is. Now imagine, we go into God asking for things. Maybe it's to heal a loved one. Maybe it's to get that new car. Maybe it's to get a better job. Whatever it is that we ask God for, we must consider the time that we put in with God. Amen, somebody. And when we do that, God will let us know where we stand with him. How many of you know you don't get on a level in God? And let me say that again. We don't get on a level in God. There's not a plateau that we get to and we say, I'm here now. I've arrived. None of us have arrived. God is telling us today, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we can't know what our next move is if we don't shut up. Amen, somebody. Sometimes I have to tell myself, shut up. You ever say something and as soon as it came out your mouth, you say, why I say that? In times of weakness, when our strength fails, God's strength is made perfect. We are reminded that our reliance should not be on our own abilities, but on God's sustaining power. How many know God will hold you up? How many know that he'll sustain you? How many know that he counts all the tears that you cry in the midnight hour? How many know God is about his business and we ought to be about God's business? God is described in this psalm as a very present help, meaning he's not distant or delayed, but he is immediately accessible if we take the time to look for him. Come on, somebody. The original language conveys that God is always available, showing up right when we need him most. All we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. I've been in situations where I just had to call on his name. I didn't know what to do, where to go, how to move. All I had to do was say, Jesus. And there was a calming in my spirit. How many know God will calm your spirit when things look like they're going the opposite way? All we got to do is call on the name of Jesus and the devil starts to tremble. All we got to do is believe in the name that we're calling on and walk like it's already done, and God will show up right on time. So when we're facing an unexpected loss, a financial hardship, or emotional turmoil, God is already there, actively working on our behalf. I'm a witness that if we diligently seek him, God will show up before you lose it all. Because how many know some of us, we wait to lose it and then we want to talk to God. But God is able to stop us from losing it all so that he can show up and be a blessing, not just for you, but for those that are around you. How many know God will let you go through some terrible times, not for you, but to show somebody else that he can do it? Oh my God. I can't even count the many times that I was ready to throw in the towel. And God said, no, I'm about to show up. If you just hang in there, tell your neighbor, hang in there and be still. Hang in there and watch God show up and show out. Even when life feels like everything is falling apart, we are called to trust God who is not moved. I heard a preacher say years ago, God is not spooked by what we call an emergency. You know, God, if you don't show up between 3 and 12, then my life is going to be messed up. Maybe God might want your life to be messed up for a moment. Come on, y'all. See, some of y'all don't know where I'm going with this. Sometimes God will let your life be a mess so you can say, I was this, but I'm that now. Amen, somebody. God never stops being God. the psalmist here uses natural disasters like earth giving away, mountains falling from this into the sea, and roaring waters as a metaphor for life's crisis. Because sometimes it feels like we're drowning. It feels like the earth is moving underneath our feet. Sometimes it feels like we can't get stable in any situation. But that is God letting us know, even though it feels like that, you got to still trust me. You got to still believe in me and be still. Because our hope is built on God. And fear for us is not an option. Tell your neighbor, be still. Verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And I found this particular scripture or verse interesting, because he's showing an image of rivers, and Jerusalem has no rivers. And so it made me think, well, why would he say that? Because if you're in a dry place, God can sustain you. When it looked like there is no way, God is waiting for you to understand that he is the way. And once we understand that there is nothing that is going to happen to us without God making a move on it, if once we understand that, nobody won't have to tell us, lift your hands, give God some praise. Because all you have to do is look at the resume that is your life, and you'll tell yourself, you'll make yourself happy. There's been times when I was depressed and I had to make myself happy as I started to think about all the things that God has brought me through. And I know I ain't the only one with that resume. We all got that on our resume. We all should have been dead. We all should have been sleeping in our grave. But the Lord is the one that made the way for us. So be still. Be still. While Jerusalem didn't have a literal river, the metaphor conveys a spiritual refreshment. It conveys stability and divine provision that flows from God himself. I don't care what you're going through right now. Keep your eyes on God. Watch what he's doing. He speaks through everything. He can speak through a leaf falling to the ground. He can speak through an animal or inanimate object. Come on, somebody. Our God is so powerful that if we take the time to be sensitive to his word, to be sensitive to his calling, to be sensitive to his leading, he will show us things that we were not able to see before. Because how many know you got to be in the spirit to be able to see God move? You have to be able to understand the things of the spirit instead of operating in the flesh to be able to hear God, to be able to see him working. So, because sometimes, oh my God, sometimes the problem is me. Try that one out. Sometimes the problem is me. This proves that God is with us even in a dry season. Some of us are in a dry place right now. Our resources are limited. I encourage you to stay close to the source. In other words, be still and wait on God. But I don't know if I'm going to make just be still. They told me, I don't care what they told you, be still and watch God work some things out. In times of crisis, God provides a river of peace that flows through the heart of every believer, bringing calm, joy, and stability. So don't panic. Just trust that God has a plan in all of this. Be still. Be still. You can't hear God when we're moving around and doing this and doing that. And I'm talking about in the church and outside of the church. Some of us is busy doing the work of God, and some of us are busy bodies. Come on, somebody. And God said, be still. You want to see me work things out? Be still. And wait for me to tell you to move. In this psalm, God presents In this psalm, God's presence in the city signifies divine protection. If God is in the midst, the city cannot be shaken. I need you to get that. If God is in the middle of it, why are we acting like everything is falling apart? See, we have to stand ready. You know how when they do that double dutch, I never did it before, but I watched a lot of people do it. And they do that rocking, they getting ready. God said, get ready. So when you get your rocking going on, you know that God is getting ready to move. And God will tell you when to jump in. Oh, hallelujah. And you have some folk that jump in and they do this. They can spin around. They can do one leg. God said, when I open the windows, when I open the way for you, you can dance all over the place because you know that I got your back. Oh, hallelujah. But he says, don't shout when you get it. Shout before you get it. That's how you activate your faith. Understand. For believers, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's presence within us provides spiritual security, making us unshakable when life's circumstances show up. How many know life will show up? It ain't gonna call you. It's not gonna send you an email. It's not gonna warn you. It's just gonna show up. And that's why we have to stay ready. Ready physically, ready spiritually, ready mentally, ready emotionally. The devil attacks on all levels. If he can't get you spiritually, he'll mess with you mentally. Come on, somebody. If he can't mess with you mentally, he'll mess with your body. Come on, somebody. If you are walking with God and God is in your spirit, the devil The devil is preparing to attack. Now, if you ain't doing nothing, you ain't worshiping, you ain't giving God praise, and I'm not talking about on Sunday morning. I'm talking about throughout the week. I try to stay in God's presence. I found out if I don't stay in his presence, I go crazy. I say dumb stuff. I do things that I ought not to do when I don't stay in his presence. Come on, somebody. Because the word tells us in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And when I have the joy of the Lord, I can get a pinched lip, like sister said, and still know that God is going to open up a window or a door on some other side. I'm a witness. God will do it. There was a time that I didn't have a job, never missed a meal, never missed rent. Come on, somebody. That's God. That's God. And the same God, somebody say the same God that did it for me can do it for you. Verse number 5 says, God is in the midst of her, meaning Jerusalem. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. I like that right early part. It's, in another translation, it's at the break of dawn. It signifies that God's help is timely, arriving in the precise moment that's needed. This proves that he may not come when you want him, but his timing is perfect. Just as the sun rises in the morning, when God shows up in your situation, he brings clarity and deliverance right when the hope is lost. There's some times where I had to throw up my hands. I surrendered to God. I didn't surrender to the devil. It's a difference. When you surrender to God, the devil takes notice. How many know that's the truth? Because there are some things I can't tell nobody. I got to just tell it to God. Ain't no sense in me telling you because you can't help me. Come on, somebody. How many know I'm a Jesus case? If you don't know Jesus, you can't help me. Bible tells us weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And saints, in our darkest hours, We can rest assured that God's deliverance will come, and not a moment too late. When it seems like God is taking too long to fix this or fix that, it's because we're out of position. Oh, I just said something. Some of us, we wondering why we didn't get that blessing. Because you're in the wrong line. Oh, my God. Wonder why God didn't answer and deliver over here. Because you're not in the right place to get deliverance. How many know if they giving away food down the street over here, why are you in a line over here? Same scenario. Be still. If you don't take nothing else from this sermon today, be still. Listen for God. He's going to show up. That thing that you've been praying for years and years and years, he didn't say no. He said wait. And that's our problem. We don't want to wait for nothing. Not understanding that waiting builds character. Waiting builds integrity. If we don't know how to wait and hope. Okay, let me move on. Instead of focusing on the noise and confusion around us, we are called to listen for God's voice, which brings peace and direction. When I was getting this sermon together, and I wasn't even really getting it together, I was just doing some studies, and one morning I woke, and I was getting ready to hit that alarm clock to let me sleep for another 10 minutes. Y'all don't act like I'm the only one. And God said, be still. And I said, all right, Lord, that's not what I mean. This is what God's saying to me. I know you want to sleep. I said, be still. I didn't say stay in the bed. And so as God started to speak that word to me, to be still, I started to list all the things that was keeping me moving. My family, my job, my this, my that. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. And God is saying, you're missing the visitation. Sometimes we got to take a break, even from our own wants and desires, and say, God, I just want to spend time with you today. I'm gonna be transparent. The other day I'm listening to some music. I only listen to gospel. I try not to listen to anything else because we're getting too close to this thing. And I don't need nothing to remind me of yesterday. You know how we hear certain music. Oh man, that was my song. But you was locked up back then. You was in a relationship that he was beating your head in. But that was your song. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. And so I'm listening to this song. And I got my earphones on. And it hit me. When I say it, I mean the Holy Spirit hit me. And I couldn't stop crying. Because I was in an elevated place and I didn't want to leave, but I knew I had to, but I wanted to stay as long as I could. You know how they say when you at a party, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get out of here. It was one of those things where I didn't want to leave, but I knew I had responsibilities. And sometimes we got to stay a little extra time with God, spend a little extra time with him so that he can build us up in our most holy faith and we'll be able to do battle with the devil. The reason why many of us can't do battle with the devil because we haven't spent enough time with God. Come on, somebody. We can't battle with the devil with weak faith. Come on, somebody. If you kill me, you're going to kill me while I'm giving God praise. If you're going to take me out, you're going to take me out with a hallelujah on my lips. If you're going to try to disturb me, I'm going to keep moving because I know that God is the end game. Amen, somebody. No matter how fierce the battle or how overwhelming the enemy, God's protective presence surrounds us like a fortress. We can stand firm knowing that the God, the Lord of the armies, is on our side. I don't care how many of you got with you. I got one God with me. And my one God is bigger than all the enemies that we can never have. So be still and know that he is God. To be still is a cause to cease from struggling and recognize God's sovereignty. God can do whatever he wants whenever he wants to do it. And I trust that he knows me better than I know myself. The term be still in Hebrew is called rapha, which means to relax, let go, and surrender. It's not just, I need you to get this, it's not just a call for inner calm, but it's also a command to stop fighting, to cease efforts to have control, because some of us are control freaks. We got to be in control of everything. And we need to stop and acknowledge that God has the supreme power and authority over any situation. Psalm 46 serves as a reminder that in the midst of life's challenges, we are to pause, be still, and trust that God is in control. It invites believers to shift their focus from the turmoil around them to the unshakable nature of God's presence. I tell you, it's something that can't even be described when you know God is working it out, especially when you don't see it, but you just believe. You know, Abraham, he so believed God that God counted his belief as righteousness. I want God to count my belief, my faith, as righteousness. I want him to say that you are so believing me, son, that I'm going to bless you over here. I'm going to make you a blessing over there. Because it's not just about us. It's about being a blessing to somebody else. If we're saved and God is blessing us, we ought to be able to share that blessing with somebody else. It may not have to be, it doesn't have to be monetarily. It could be a word. Somebody is on the edge of giving up, and we can have a word that can bless their soul, but we sit on our testimony. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to know what you were before you came here. Oh my God. I can't get a witness in the house. Somebody need to know that you was raggedy at one point. Come on, somebody. Somebody need to know that you're raggedy now, but God is working on you. Amen, anybody. Jesus. Let's be real today. Amidst life's constant demands and distraction, God calls us to an inner stillness. Sometimes I find myself just being still. Nothing on the TV, no music playing, just being still. Because I'm like David, I got enemies chasing me. I don't have time. You ever been running from somebody and you don't even know where you're going, and you run down a dead-end street and you wonder why they stopped running? And they just standing right at the mouth of the dead end, knowing that you got to come back this way. I don't have time to go down a dead end street. And guess what? Neither do any of us. We don't have time. It's the hour is late. God is soon to come. We need to be ready and willing to do what God needs us to do now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. God says, what I need you to do, I need you to do it now. Do it now. Recognizing God's sovereignty means trusting his plan over our own understanding. But God, it says this, this, and this. I know what it says. But I can take the foolish things to confound the wise. Are you willing to trust that? Are you willing to look like a fool for God? That's the question. We want to be a Christian when it's popular, when it's good. It's easy to be a Christian sitting in here. But when God said, go over and talk to somebody whose all hope is lost, Are we willing to do it? We have to be ready to be a witness. And sometimes the hardest witness for us to be is to our own families. Because they know us. They've seen how we act after church. Yeah. They know that we got a thing that's on us. A thing that we do. A thing that gets up when we get up and go to sleep when we go to sleep and sitting there watching us. But they ought to see us working through it. Amen. We all got something. I ain't asking everybody to label what they have. We all got something. I don't need to know what yours is. I'm too busy dealing with mine. Amen, somebody. But we all have something that we need to say, God, I'm going to be still. I need you to deal with this for me. Because every time when I deal with it, I mess it up. How many know every time when you put your hands on something, you mess it up? You can't cuss somebody out and say, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have said that. That's not how that works. Amen, somebody. Even though some people need a good cussing, but I'm not saying go cuss somebody. But we have to choose to be that other person. The person that is pleasing to God. So when life feels out of control, be still. The pressures of life can sometimes seem overwhelming. Financial stress, health crisis, or family conflicts. We often try to take control or fix things ourselves. Psalms 46 and 10 reminds us to stop and recognize who is in control. When fear and anxiety take over, be still. Fear can paralyze us and make us forget God's power and presence. And instead of spiraling into worry, we are called to be still and remember who God is. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. When we're busy and distracted, be still. In a world that glorifies busyness, God calls us to be still. When life feels overwhelming and our minds are cluttered, God's command to be still and know is a divine invitation to step back, rest, and trust in his sovereign power. I'm getting happy all by myself. It is in the stillness that we come to know God more intimately, experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. When we are constantly scrolling through social media or rushing through our day, we may neglect prayer and reflection. This verse encourages us to turn off the noise, be still, and reconnect with God. I don't know about you, but I need to reconnect. And it's a daily thing because every one of us sin throughout our day. Maybe not you. All of us. And so we need to turn our outward, our inward, and start doing a self-examination. Amen. Pull out those dark secrets that we think God don't know nothing about. We have the audacity to think that God doesn't know everything. And those are the things that keep us bound. We can come to church. We can scream and holler and shout and all the things that we do. You know, the church stuff. But is God dealing with your heart? Is he telling you to love that person that you think that don't like you? Sometimes we think somebody don't like us, and it's because they're going through something. Everybody's not going to say, hey, how you doing? God bless you. But when we have stuff brewing in our own minds, we think everybody hate us. I guess I'm the only one. I've been through that. I can sit up here and look at the people that hate me. I used to sit up here and be like, I know that one don't like me. I know that one don't like me. And I have to be honest. I had to deal with myself because there were times I said, well, I don't like them either. Or I guess I'm the only one. I thought we was being real today. God is working on us. But we have to be still and let him do the work. When we are tempted to take matters into our own hands, be still. Sometimes we are tempted to act impulsively rather than waiting on God's timing. Be still is a command to lay down our will and pick up God's will and trust that God is already working things out for our good. I'll give you an example. Been waiting for this promotion for a long time. Long time. Saw people getting in front of me. And I had got in my mind, it's time to have a talk with the boss. And so I'm getting myself together, because you know you just can't come saying I want a raise. You have to have some groundwork. You just can't come in there and say I think I deserve it. It don't matter what you think you deserve. What's on the paper? And so I got some stuff together, got my little thing, what I was going to do. And God said, don't do it. And I said, God, don't you want me to elevate? See, some of us, we got the wrong impression of what elevation is. Sometimes elevation means going down before you can go up. We're not willing to go down. You know how when the elevator is real slow and then it comes up and it's packed and it can fit you in there, but you ain't going. I'm going to wait for the next one. And now you're waiting longer because when it comes back down, it's packed again. God's saying, take the ride. Go down for a little bit so that I can deal with you in the valley, so I can build you in the valley. I need you to be quiet in the valley. I need you not to complain in the valley. I need you to understand it ain't about you in the valley. I need you to I need you to be still. I just want to give you these, and then we're going to let you go. There are benefits in being still. One, we gain clarity and guidance. When we quiet our minds, we can hear God's voice more clearly. And when I say quiet our minds, all those things that we think that are wrong in our lives, God will begin to give us a perspective or his view of your situation. How many understand that God's view of your situation is different from your view of your situation? You see it as a loss, and God is saying, I'm about to blow you up. Don't give up now. Number two, being still allows us to rest in God's presence, replenishing our weary souls. I know that this is a fact. Times that I'm frustrated about life, I'm frustrated about home, I'm frustrated about church, I'm frustrated about everything. And when I'm in his presence, there's a calm that says, I'm here for a reason. Now I'm looking for a reason. I'm looking for God's purpose for me being in this position. And sometimes we hurt so bad that we forget God. And God is saying, that's when I need you to come to me. When you feel bad, when all hope is gone, I need you to come to me then. Because if you stay out there by yourself, the devil gonna start feeding you stuff and it's gonna move you further away from me. So we gotta be still. The third thing is, being still reduces anxiety and stress, and it grounds us in God's peace. My daughter is graduating with an associate's on Tuesday at the Prudential Center. And praise God for that. Praise God for that. But I don't like crowds. And it's multiple schools that's graduating in this graduation. And I went to the last one, and it was like, They lined up all around the block. But I had to be there. I cheated a little bit. It wasn't enough room for the people, so they had an overflow in the auditorium. So I'm in there watching it on the big screen, right? And then a police officer comes in and says, your daughter, she got a seat for you in there. And so I looked at the screen, and I saw the chairs. They were those plastic chairs. I was like, nah. I'm going to stay right here. She know I'm here. And so sometimes God challenges us in certain situations, and we have to take the time to see God in the midst of those situations. Amen? We need to love on each other. I tell you, there are some people you got to love the hell out of them. Ain't that right, Deaconess Short? Being still helps us. Being still helps us refocus on God's power rather than our own problems. It's not about my problem. It's about me helping you with yours so that, like the old folk used to say, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. Amen. I'm going to finish up now. I'm already in trouble. Being still creates space for reflection. Sometimes we have to stop and reflect on where we're going. Reflect on the results of the decisions that we made. You can't take back hurt. When you hurt somebody, you can't take that back. You have to own it and ask God to give you peace over it. Because if you don't, it'll haunt you for the rest of your life. Amen? And that's why it's easier to love than it is to hate. It's easier to love somebody. It's easier to care for somebody. Because when we do that, we show God that he can trust us to love somebody. Amen. And lastly, being still teaches us to release control and trust God's plan for our lives. I've been controlling my life most of my life, and that's why I'm where I am now. But if I had a trusted God from the beginning, how many know we could have escaped so many pitfalls? See, some of our wounds aren't from somebody else. Some of our wounds were self-inflicted. And we laid in that mess, and we got used to being messy. And now when we're trying to get ourselves together, the messiness says, where am I going? I'm going with you. Mess ain't going to just leave. You have to evict it. And the only way you can evict it is with the power of the Holy Ghost. How many know that's right? How many know when the power of the Holy Ghost takes over, it controls what you say. It controls what you do. It controls how you treat one another. Come on, somebody. When the Holy Ghost is in full swing, you love everybody. Even those that don't love you, you give them a little extra. How many know that's right? Some of us, we need a little extra. Come on, somebody. Every now and then, we got to stop and say, you know what? I'm going to love you a little bit deeper. You ain't got to love me. No, I do. I have to love you. Because God has a plan. And if you're in the path of my purpose, there's something in it for me and there's something in it for you. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to get mine. Amen, somebody. So I encourage you as I take my seat. I struggled with this message because I didn't know how to be still. I didn't know how to not be busy. I didn't know how to stay away from things and people and situations. And as I began to be still, God began to show me things that he wanted to do that I wasn't ready for. Because sometimes when God shows us stuff, we get excited. But he doesn't show us everything. Because for some of us, if God showed us what he wanted to bless us with and say, you're going to have to give this up, this up, this up, and this up. Most of us would be like, yeah, you can keep that, God. Tell me I'm lying. You can keep that, God. If I got to go through all of that for this, but that's thinking carnally minded. I want to think in the spirit. I want to be able to say, yes, God, no matter what he say. Give God a blank check. Sign my name to it. God, put in what you have for me to do. We ought to try that sometime. Because I don't know about you, I want God to elevate my faith. I want him to elevate my thinking. I want him to put me in a place where the things that hurt me don't bother me anymore. Smells that, you know how sometimes you smell a smell and it'll give you a bad feeling. It reminds you of that person or that situation. Or you see a movie where somebody says something that reminds you of something negative in your life. I want to be elevated over that. So that God can use me at a moment's notice. See, you got to be ready in the moment. Remember? You got to be ready in the moment. How can we be ready in the moment if we can't love one another? How can we be ready in a moment if we don't allow God to look in the nooks and crannies of our heart and begin to pull out that stuff that's so attached to us? We act like we can't live without that thing. The devil is a lie. God will never take anything from you that he won't replace something better with. But we got to trust. I can't get this up until I get that. No. I want you to trust me with nothing. Can you trust me when you have nothing? Can you praise me? And I'm not talking about in the church. We got praising God in the church down. We got that. Some of us, we praise so hard. It's almost like when we leave here, we go straight to heaven, come down next week. But it's time to open up and be real with ourselves. Somebody need to know that they can make it through what they're going through. And how can they know that if you stuck on your testimony or your testifying? Be still. I encourage you this week to be still and watch God move on your behalf. He's already doing it for me. I'm seeing changes already. And not necessarily in my situations, but in me. Because how many know God won't always change the situation? He's trying to change you. Some of us are so stubborn and stiff-necked. God, I want you to show up, but I'm going to still have an attitude. Now, we don't say it, but that's how we act. And God is saying, you want me to show up? Then prepare a place for me. Ooh, I just said something. If you want me to come by, clean your house. I'm not coming to your dirty house. I'm not talking about nobody here. But you know how when some folk, they don't keep their house? Yeah, we don't know nobody like that. You call them up. I'm on my way to your house. Wait. How close are you? I got stuff to move. You don't say it, but I got stuff to hide. I got stuff to move. Don't look at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like nobody just showing up to my house. But if they did, I want my house to be clean. Amen. It's embarrassing when you let somebody in your house and you say, well, I didn't know you was coming. Then why you open the door? I'm trying to help myself and y'all. I had to eat this first. And it didn't taste good. Because I knew I had some stuff to move out the house. I had to take some stuff out of my heart, the bitterness, the hatred even that I had in my heart. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, church hurt is alive and well. It is. It's a disease. And if we don't eradicate it, it's gonna infect the body. But it start right here. Start right here with ourselves. Examine ourselves. Because I don't care how many things I can find wrong with you, I can find more things wrong with me if we're being honest. So let's start with us. Let us clean up our own houses and let us be those vessels that's ready for the master's use. That's what it's all about. We just read it today. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, not to other people, but to God. Be not conformed to this world. How are we going to call ourselves a Christian and we act like we not? When it's convenient. In the church, we can Christian up. We put our Christian clothes on and our Christian attitude and our vernacular and all that stuff. But do you keep it on when you leave the house? It's time to be still, to hear God. We're getting close to the end of this thing. And one of my biggest fears is to be here and everybody else got rapture. I don't want to be a left behind preacher. Because you know you still got to preach. And it's going to be even harder because they're going to say, well, wait a minute. Why are you here? Jesus. Let us all stand. Our prayer is that something was said that made you think about your walk. It's time to do a reevaluation on our own individual walk. I try to make it my business to say, am I doing this right? My conversation with God, am I doing this right? I don't want to be no fake hypocritical Christian. I know I got flaws. I know I got issues. But God, am I doing this right? Because somebody could die and go to hell on my watch because I'm not doing it right. And that's blood on my hands. So we pray that you would check yourself. When you pray for yourself, ask God to move that stuff that's stopping you from being the best you that you can be. I promise you, if you do that, God will start moving stuff around. He'll start taking you out of situations and putting you in better situations. But it starts with the internal inspection. And we have to be willing to open up our closets and say, God, you take out what I need to take out. Because if I do it, it's going to be just like in the natural. You know how we got clothes from the 70s. We're going to wear that again. That's going to come back in style. No, it's not. God is saying, I want to do a new thing. I want to do a new thing in you. You can't get the new thing holding on to the old thing. Amen. I don't want to take for granted that everyone here and online is saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because it's with your heart that you believe, and with your mouth, your confession is made into salvation. Give your life to Jesus. If you have not, we encourage you to come. Give your heart to Jesus. Tomorrow's not promised to us, but right now is. And so we encourage you to come. Maybe you're already saved. Maybe you don't have a place that you can call home. We invite you to come here. We have a dynamic pastor and first lady whose love is unlimited. Someone that would guide you and lead you as God gives them instruction. If that's you, we encourage you to come. Come while you still have time. Let me just say this, and we're going to dismiss. I love my church. I'll fight for my church. I've been to a lot of churches, but this one right here, I believe in this church. Amen. I want you to believe in it too. All of us can go somewhere else, but we're here. And while we're here, we need to get along so we can be better, so that we can elevate. Elevation is hard. It takes wit. It takes courage to elevate. I want you to elevate. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we've done your will and yet there's room. Father, we ask God that you would bless every listener on today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would allow the mistakes to be mine, but the glory be thine. Father, I ask God that you would bless every listener, God, here and online. We ask God that you do renovation on us, God. Look in the nooks and the crannies of our heart, God, and begin to pull stuff out that don't belong there. Ready us to move with you, God, where you are, God, where we will serve you and worship you forevermore. Father, we ask God that you would bless those that maybe not don't have an understanding, God. We ask God that this week that you would open up their understanding and show them the need that they have to have for you. We ask God that you would seal this prayer, God, as we go our separate ways, God. We ask God that you do not depart from us, but that you keep us, God. We ask that you give us mercy as we travel to our separate destinations, and when we arrive home, that our homes will be just like when we left, but a little bit more sweeter, a little bit more loving. God, we ask, God, that you would seal our houses, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you would move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you would heal, God, the brokenhearted in a mighty way. We ask, God, that you, God, we'll get the glory out of our lives this week. We ask that you bless our pastor. We ask that you give him safe travels, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that he has delivered an awesome word, God. And we ask, God, that you refill him, revive him, restore him, oh God, for his faithfulness in this ministry. We thank you, God. We always give you the praise and honor and the glory, because everything belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Cornerstone.